The Vita of St. Mary of Egypt by St. Sophronius, Patriarch of Jerusalem, born around the year 560. It is good to hide the secret of a king, but it is glorious to reveal and preach the works of God, says Tobit. So said the archangel Raphael to Tobit when he performed the wonderful healing of his blindness. Actually, not to keep the secret of a king is perilous and a terrible risk, but to be silent about the works of God is a great loss for the soul. And I, says Sophronius, in writing the life of St. Mary of Egypt, am afraid to hide the works of God by silence, remembering the misfortune threatened to the servant who hid his God-given talent in the earth, we read in Matthew 25. I am bound to pass on the holy account that has reached me, and let no one think, continues Sophronius, that I have had the audacity to write untruth or doubt this great marvel. May I never lie about holy things. If there do happen to be people who, after reading this record, do not believe it, may the Lord have mercy on them, because reflecting on the weakness of human nature, they consider impossible these wonderful things accomplished by holy people. But now we must begin to tell this most amazing story, which has taken place in our generation. There was a certain elder in one of the monasteries of Palestine, a priest of holy life and speech, who from childhood had been brought up in monastic ways and customs. The elder's name was Sosima. He had been through the whole course of ascetic life, and in everything he adhered to the rule once given to him by his tutors as regards spiritual labors. He had also added a good deal himself whilst laboring to subject his flesh to the will of the Spirit. And he had not failed in his aim. He was so renowned for spiritual life that many came to him from neighboring monasteries and some from afar. While doing all this, he never ceased to study the divine scriptures. Whether resting, standing, working, or eating food, if the scraps he nibbled on could be called food, he incessantly and constantly had one aim, always to sing of God and to practice the teaching of the divine scriptures. Zosima used to relate how, as soon as he was taken from his mother's breast, he was handed over to the monastery where he went through his training as an ascetic till he reached the age of 53. After that, he began to be tormented with the thought that he was perfect in everything and needed no instruction from anyone, saying to himself mentally, "Is there a monk on earth who can be of use to me and show me a kind of asceticism that I have not accomplished? Is there a man to be found in the desert who has surpassed me?" Thus thought the elder, when suddenly an angel appeared to him and said, "Sosima, valiantly have you struggled as far as this is within the power of man. Valiantly have you gone through the ascetic course, but no man has attained perfection. Before you lay undiscovered struggles greater than those you have already accomplished, that you may know how many other ways lead to salvation. Leave your native land, as renowned patriarch Abraham did, and go to the monastery by the River Jordan." Sosima did as he was told. He left the monastery in which he had lived from childhood and went to the River Jordan. At last he reached the community to which God had sent him. Having knocked at the door of the monastery, he told the brother porter who he was, and the porter told the abbot. On being admitted to the abbot's presence, Sosima made the usual monastic prostration and prayer. Seeing that he was a monk, the abbot asked, "Where do you come from, brother? And why have you come to us old men?" Zosima replied, "There is no need to speak about where I come from, but I have come, father, to seek spiritual profit, for I have heard great things about your skill in leading souls to God." "Brother," the abbot said to him, "only God can heal the infirmity of the soul. May he teach you and us his divine ways and guide us, as it is the love of Christ that has moved you to visit us poor old men. Then stay with us, if that is why you have come. May the good shepherd who laid down his life for our salvation fill us all with the grace of the Holy Spirit." After this, Zosima bowed to the abbot, asked for his prayer and blessing, and stayed in the monastery. There he saw elders proficient both in action and the contemplation of God, aflame in spirit, working for the Lord. They sang incessantly. They stood all night in prayer. Work was ever in their hands and psalms on their lips. Never an idle word was heard among them. They knew nothing about acquiring temporal goods or of the cares of life. They had one desire alone, to become in body like corpses. Their constant food was the word of God, and they sustained their bodies on bread and water as much as their love for God allowed them. Seeing this, Zosima was greatly edified and prepared for the struggle that lay before him. Many days passed, and the time drew near when all Christians fast and prepare themselves to venerate the divine passion and resurrection of Christ. The monastery gates were kept always locked and only opened when one of the community was sent out on some errand. It was a desert place, not only unvisited by the people of the world, but even unknown to them. The monastery's rule was God's purpose in bringing Zosima there. At the beginning of the great fast, on Forgiveness Sunday, the priest celebrated the Holy Liturgy, and all partook of the holy body and blood of Christ. After the liturgy, they went to the refectory and would eat a little Lenten food. Then all gathered in church, and after praying earnestly with prostrations, the elders kissed one another and asked forgiveness, and each made a prostration to the abbot and asked his blessing and prayers for the struggle that lay before them. After this, the gates of the monastery were thrown open. All sang, "The Lord is my light and my Savior, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" And the rest of that psalm. Then all went into the desert and crossed the river Jordan. Only one or two brothers were left in the monastery, not to guard the property, for there was nothing to rob, but so as not to leave the church bereft of divine service. Each took with him as much as he could or wanted in the way of food, according to the needs of his body. One would take a little bread, another some figs, another dates or wheat soaked in water. And some took nothing but their own body covered with rags and fed, when nature forced them to it, on plants that grew in the desert. After crossing the Jordan, they all scattered far and wide in different directions, and this was the rule of life they had, in which they all observed, neither to talk to one another, nor to know how each one lived and fasted. If they did happen to catch sight of one another, they went to another part of the country, living alone and always singing to God, and at a definite time eating a very small quantity of food. In this way, they spent the whole of the fast, and then returned to the monastery a week before the resurrection of Christ. On Palm Sunday they came. Each one returned having his own conscience as the witness of his labor, and no one asked one another how he had spent his time in the desert. Such were the rules of the monastery. Every one of them, whilst in the desert, struggled and himself before the judge of the struggle, God, not seeking to please men, and fast before the eyes of all. For what is done for the sake of men to win praise and honor is not only useless to the one who does it, but sometimes the cause of great punishment. Zosima did the same as the rest, and he went far into the desert with a secret hope of finding some father who might be living there and who might be able to satisfy his thirst and longing for spiritual knowledge. He wandered on tireless, as if hurrying on to some definite place. He had already walked for 20 days when the sixth hour came, and he stopped, and turning to the east, he began to sing the sixth hour and recite the customary prayers. He used to break his journey thus at fixed hours of the day to rest a little, to chant psalms standing, and to pray on bent knees. As he sang, thus without turning his eyes from the heavens, he suddenly saw to the right of the hillock on which he stood the semblance of a human body. At first he was confused, thinking he beheld the vision of the devil, and even started with fear. But having guarded himself with the sign of the cross and banishing all fear, he turned his gaze in that direction and in truth saw some form gliding southwards. The form was naked, the skin dark as if burned up by the heat of the sun. The hair on its head was white as fleece and not long, falling just below the neck. Zosima was so overjoyed at beholding a human form that he ran after it in pursuit, but the form fled from him. He followed, and at length, when he was near enough to be heard, he shouted, "Why do you run from an old man and a sinner? Slave of the true God, wait for me. Whoever you are in God's name, I will tell you, for the love of God, for whose sake you are living in the desert. Forgive me for God's sake, for I cannot turn toward you and show you my face, Abba Zosima, for I am a woman and naked, as you see, with the uncovered shame of my body. But if you would like to fulfill one wish of a sinful woman, throw me your cloak so that I may cover my body and can turn and ask for your blessing." Here, terror seized Zosima, for he heard that she called him by name, but he realized that she could not have done so, knowing nothing of him, without the power of spiritual insight. He at once did as she asked. He took off his old tattered cloak and threw it to her, turning away as he did so. She picked it up and was able to cover at least part of her body. Then she turned to Zosima and said, "Why do you wish, Abba Zosima, to see a sinful woman? What do you wish to hear or learn from me? You have not shrunk from such great struggles." Zosima threw himself on the ground and asked for her blessing. She likewise bowed before him, and thus they lay on the ground, prostrate, asking for each other's blessing. And one word alone could be heard from both, "Bless." After a long while, the woman said to Zosima, "Abba Zosima, it is you who must be giving blessing and pray. You are dignified by the order of priesthood, and for many years you have stood before the holy altar offering the sacrifice of the divine mysteries." This flung Zosima into even greater terror. At length, with tears, he said to her, "O mother, filled with the Spirit, by your mode of life it is evident that you live with God and have died to the world. The grace granted you is apparent, for you have called me by name and recognized that I am a priest, though you have never seen me before. Grace is recognized not by one's orders, but by the gifts of the Spirit. So give me your blessing for God's sake, for I need your prayers." Then, giving way before the wish of the elder, the woman said, "Blessed is God who cares for the salvation of men and their souls." And Zosima answered, "Amen." And both rose to their feet. Then the woman asked the elder, "Why have you come, man of God, to me who am so sinful? Why do you wish to see a woman naked and devoid of every virtue? Though I know one thing, the grace of the Holy Spirit has brought you to render me a service in time. Tell me, Father, how are the Christian peoples living? And the kings? How is the church guided?" Zosima said, "By your prayers, Mother, Christ has granted lasting peace to all. But fulfill the unworthy petition of an old man and pray for the whole world and for me who am a sinner, so that my wanderings in the desert may not be fruitless." She answered, "You are a priest, Abba Zosima. It is you who must pray for me and for all, for this is your calling. But as we must all be obedient, I will gladly do what you ask." And with these words, she turned to the east and, raising her eyes to heaven, stretching out her hands, she began to pray in a whisper. One could not hear separate words, so that Zosima could not understand anything that she said in her prayers. Meanwhile, he stood, according to his own word, all in a flutter, looking at the ground without saying a word. He swore, calling God as his witness, that when at length he thought her prayer was very long, he looked and saw that she was raised about a 4 arms distance from the ground and stood praying in the air. When he saw this, even greater terror seized him, and he fell on the ground, weeping and repeating many times, "Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy." Whilst lying prostrate on the ground, he was tempted by a thought. Could this not be a spirit and her prayer a hypocrisy? But at that very moment, the woman turned toward Zosima and raised the elder from the ground, saying, "Abba, thoughts are tempting you, troubling you about me, telling you I am a spirit and that my prayer is feigned. Know, Holy Father, that I am only a sinful woman, though I am guarded by the holy baptism. And I am no spirit, but rather earth and ashes and flesh alone." With these words, she guarded herself with the sign of the cross on her forehead, eyes, mouth, and breast, saying, "May God defend us from the evil one and from his designs, for fierce is his struggle against us." Hearing and seeing this, the elder fell to the ground. Embracing her feet, he said with tears, "I beg you by the name of Christ our God, who is born of a virgin, for whose sake you have stripped yourself, for whose sake you have exhausted your flesh, do not hide from your humble slave who you are and whence and how you came to this desert. Tell me everything, so that the marvelous works of God may be known. A hidden wisdom and a secret treasure, what profit is there in them? Tell me all, I implore you. For not out of vanity or self-display would you speak, but only to reveal the truth to me, an unworthy sinner. I believe in God, for whom you live and whom you serve. I believe that he led me into this desert to show me his ways through you. It is not in our power to resist the plans of God. If it were not the will of God that you and your life would be known, he would not have allowed me to see you and would not have strengthened me to undertake this journey, a weakling like myself who never ventured out of his cell. Much more," said Abba Zosima. But the woman raised him and said, "I am ashamed, Abba, to speak to you of my disgraceful life. Forgive me for God's sake. But as you have already seen my naked body, I shall likewise lay bare before you my work, so that you may know with what shame and obscenity my soul is filled. I was not running out of vanity as you thought, for what have I to do to be proud of? I who was the chosen vessel of the devil. And when I start my story, you will run from me, as from a snake, for your ears will not be able to bear the vileness of my actions. But I shall tell you all, without hiding anything, only imploring you first of all to pray incessantly for me, so that I may find mercy on the day of judgment. The elder wept, and the woman began her story. My native land, Holy Father, was Egypt. Already during the lifetime of my parents, when I was 12 years old, I renounced their love and went to Alexandria. I am ashamed to recall how I ruined my maidenhood there, and then unrestrainedly and insatiably gave myself up to sensuality. It is more becoming to speak of this briefly so that you may just know my passion and my lechery. For about 17 years, forgive me, I lived like that. I was like a fire of public debauchery. And it was not for the sake of gain, here I speak the pure truth. Often when they wished to pay me, I refused the money. I acted in this way to lay myself open to as many men as possible, removing any possible impediment, doing free of charge whatever gave me pleasure. Do not think that I sought to enrich myself with money. In truth, it was I who exploited these men in order to fill the bottomless cisterns of my lust. For money, I lived by begging, often by spinning flax. But my purpose in life was always to indulge my insatiable desire and an irrepressible passion for lying and filth. This was life to me. And every kind of abuse of nature I pursued with zeal. This is how I lived. That was my whole aim of life. Then one summer, I saw a large crowd of Libyans and Egyptians running toward the sea. I asked one of them, "Where are these men hurrying to?" He replied, "They are all going to Jerusalem for the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, which takes place in a few days." I said to him, "Will they take me if I wish to go?" "No one will hinder you if you have money to pay for the journey and for food." And I said to him, "To tell the truth, I have no money, neither have I food. But I shall go with them and shall go aboard, and they shall feed me whether they want to or not. I have a body. They will not decline what I have to offer." My desire to go suddenly filled and overwhelmed me, Abba, for I saw lying before me countless new lovers who would satisfy my passion. Remember that I told you, Abba Sosime, not to force me to tell you of my disgrace. As God is my witness, I am afraid of defiling you in the very air of my spoken words. Sosima, weeping, replied to her, "Speak on for God's sake, mother. Speak, and do not break the thread of such an edifying tale." Resuming her story, she went on. That youth, on hearing my shameless words, laughed and went off, while I, throwing away my spinning wheel, ran toward the sea in the direction which everyone seemed to be taking. And seeing some young men standing on the shore, about 10 or more of them, full of vigor and alert in their movements, I decided that they would do for my purposes. It seemed that some of them were waiting for more travelers, whilst others had gone ashore. Shamelessly, as usual, I mixed with the crowd, saying, "Take me with you to the place where you were going. I assure you, you will not regret it." I added a few choice words, calling forth general laughter. Seeing my readiness to be shameless, they took me aboard the ship without delay. Those who were expected came also, and we set sail at once. How shall I relate to you what happened after this? What tongue could recount? What ears could take it all in, all that took place on the boat during that voyage? Upon many of these miserable youths, I forced myself, overcoming their hesitations or moral scruples. None were able to resist, though a few mightily tried. In the end, I overcame them all. No mentionable or unmentionable depravity would be forgotten on this voyage. I became their enthusiastic teacher in every depravity. I am amazed, Abba, how the sea abided our licentiousness, how the earth did not open its jaws, and how it was that hell did not swallow me alive once I had tangled my net around so many souls. But I think God was seeking my repentance, for he does not desire the death of a sinner, but magnanimously awaits the sinner to return to him. At last we arrived to Jerusalem. I spent the days before the festival in town living my usual dissolute life, perhaps even worse. I was not content with the youths I had seduced at sea, who had helped me to get to Jerusalem. Many other citizens of the town and foreigners I also seduced. The day of the exaltation of the Holy Cross dawned while I was still flying about hunting for youths. At daybreak, I saw that everyone was hurrying to the church, so I ran with the rest. When the hour for the holy elevation approached, I was trying to make my way in with the crowd, struggling to get through the church doors. I had at last squeezed through with great difficulty, almost to the entrance of the temple, from which the life-giving tree of the cross was being shown to the people. But when I approached the threshold, which everyone else had crossed, I was stopped by some force which prevented my entering. Meanwhile, I was brushed aside by the crowd and found myself standing alone in the porch. Thinking that this had happened because of my woman's weakness, I again began to work my way into the crowd, trying to elbow myself forward, but in vain did I struggle. Again, my feet trod on the doorstep, over which others were freely entering the church. But I alone remained, unable to enter, unaccepted by the church. It were as if a detachment of soldiers stood there opposing my entrance. Once again, I was excluded by the same mighty force, and again I stood in the porch, having repeated my attempt 3 or 4 times. At last, I felt exhausted and had no more strength to push or to be pushed. So I went aside and stood in a corner of the porch. It was there on the porch when, with great difficulty, it began to dawn on me, and I began to understand why I was prevented from being admitted into the presence of the life-giving cross. The word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart and revealed to me that my unclean life barred entrance into this most holy place. I began to weep and lament and beat my breast. I sighed from the depths of my heart, and so I stood weeping when I saw above me the icon of the Most Holy Mother of God. Not taking my eyes off her, I said, O Lady, Mother of God, who gave birth in the flesh to God the Word, I know, oh, how well I know, that it is no honor or praise to thee when one so impure and depraved as I look up to thine icon. O ever virgin who didst keep the body and the soul in purity, rightly do I inspire hatred and disgust before thy virginal purity. But I have heard that God, who was born of thee, became man to call sinners to repentance. Then help me, for I have no other help. Order the entrance of the church to be open to me. Allow me to see the venerable tree on which he who was born of thee suffered in the flesh, and on which he shed his holy blood for the redemption of sinners and for me, unworthy as I am. Be my faithful witness before thy Son, that I will never again defile my body by the impurity of fornication. But as soon as I have seen the tree of the cross, I will renounce the world and its temptations, and will go wherever thou wilt lead me. Thus I spoke, and as if acquiring some hope and firm faith and feeling some confidence in the mercy of the Mother of God, I left the place where I stood praying and I went again and mingled with the crowd that was pushing its way into the temple, and no one seemed to thwart me. No one hindered my entering the church. I was possessed and trembling, almost in delirium. Having got as far as the doors, which I could not reach, as if the same force which had hindered me cleared the way for me now, I entered without difficulty and found myself within the holy place. And so it was I saw the life-giving cross. I saw also the mysteries of God, how the Lord receives a penitent soul into his presence. Throwing myself to the ground, I worshiped that holy earth and kissed it with trembling. Then I came out of the church and went to her who had promised to be my security, to the place where I had sealed my vow. And bending my knees before the Virgin Mother of God, I addressed her with these words, O loving Lady, that thou hast shown me thy great love for all men. Glory to God who receives the repentance of sinners through thee. What more can I recollect or say, I who am so sinful? It is time for me, Lady, to fulfill my vow according to thy witness. Now lead me by the hand along the path of repentance. And at these words I heard a voice from on high, If you cross the Jordan, you will find glorious rest. Hearing this voice and having faith that it was for me, I cried to the Mother of God, O Lady, Lady, do not forsake me. With these words I left the porch of the church and set off on my journey. As I was leaving the church, a stranger glanced at me and gave me 3 coins, saying, Sister, take these. And taking the money, I bought 3 loaves and took them with me on my journey as a blessed gift. I asked the person who sold the bread, which is the way to the Jordan. I was directed to the city gate, which led that way. Running on, I passed the gates and, still weeping, went on my journey. Those I met pointed the way, and after walking for the rest of that day, I think it was 9 o'clock when I saw the cross, I at length reached at sunset the church of St. John the Baptist, which stood on the banks of the Jordan. After praying in the temple, I went down to the Jordan and rinsed my face and hands in its holy waters. I partook of the holy and life-giving mysteries in the church of the Forerunner, and ate half of one of my loaves. Then, after drinking some water from the Jordan, I lay down and passed the night on the ground. In the morning I found a small boat and crossed to the opposite bank. I again prayed to Our Lady to lead me whither she wished. Then I found myself in this desert, and from that moment and up to the present day, I have been estranged from all, keeping away from all people and fleeing those who approached me. I live here clinging to my God who saves all who turn to him from faint-heartedness and storms. Zosima asked her, How many years have gone by since you began to live in this desert? She replied, 47 years have already gone by, I think, since I left the holy city. Zosima asked, But what food do you find? The woman said, I had 2.5 loaves when I crossed the Jordan. Soon they dried up and became hard as rock. Eating a little, I gradually finished them after a few years. Zosima asked, Can it be that without getting ill, you have lived so many years thus without suffering in any way from such a complete change? The woman answered, You remind me, Zosima, of what I dare not speak of, for when I recall all the dangers which I overcame, and all the violent thoughts which confused me, I am afraid they will take possession of me again. Zosima said, Do not hide anything from me. Speak to me without concealing anything. She said to him, Believe me, Abba, 17 years I passed in this desert fighting wild beasts, I mean mad desires and passions. When I was about to partake of food, I would recall the meat and fish which I ate to my full in Egypt. I regretted also not having wine which I drank in abundance. Here I had not even water. I used to burn and succumb with thirst. The mad desire for profligate songs also entered me and confused me greatly, edging me on to sing satanic songs which I once knew and sang. But when such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast and reminded myself of the vow which I had made when going into this desert. In my thoughts, I returned to the icon of the Mother of God, which had received me, and to her I cried in prayer. I implored her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul was succumbing. And after weeping long hours and beating my breast, I would see a light descending, shining on me from everywhere. So after the violent storm, lasting calm would descend. Oh, how shall I tell you, O Abba, of the thoughts that pushed me toward lust once more? A fire was kindled in my miserable breast, which would burn up completely and to awake in me a thirst for embraces. And as soon as this craving came over me, I flung myself on the earth and watered it with my tears, as if I saw before me my accuser, who had appeared out of my disobedience, threatening punishment for my crimes. And I did not rise from the ground. Sometimes I lie thus prostrate for a day and a night, until a calm and sweet light descended and enlightened me and chased away the thoughts that possessed me. But always I turned to the eyes of my mind, to my protectress, asking her to extend help to one who was sinking fast in the waves of the desert. And I had always her help and the acceptor of my repentance. And thus I lived for 17 years amid constant dangers. And since then, even till now, the Mother of God helps me in everything and leads me as if it were by the hand. Sosama asked her, "Can it be that you did not need food and clothing?" She answered, "After finishing the loaves I had of which I spoke, for 17 years I have fed on herbs and all that can be found in the desert. The clothes I had when I crossed the Jordan became torn and worn out. I suffered greatly from the cold and greatly from the extreme heat. At times the sun burned me up, and at others I shivered from the frost. And frequently, falling to the ground, I lay without breath and without motion. I struggled with many afflictions and with terrible temptations. But from that time until now, the power of God in numerous ways had guarded my sinful soul and my humble body. When I reflect with singleness of mind upon the evils from which our Lord had delivered me, I see that I have imperishable food for hope and salvation. I am fed and clothed by the all-powerful word of God, the Lord of all. For it is not by bread alone that man lives, and those who have stripped off the rags of sin have no refuge, hiding themselves in the clefts of the rocks." Hearing that she cited words of scripture from Moses and Job, Sosama asked her, "And so you have read the Psalms and other books?" She smiled at this and said to the elder, "Believe me, I have not seen a human face ever since I crossed the Jordan except yours today. I have not seen a beast or a living creature ever since I came into the desert. I never learned from books. I have never even heard anyone who sang and read from them. But the word of God, which is alive and active by itself, teaches a man knowledge. And so this is the end of my tale. But as I asked you in the beginning, even now I implore you, for the sake of the incarnate word of God, to pray to the Lord for me, who am such a sinner. Thus, concluding her tale, she bowed down before him. And with tears, the elder exclaimed, "Blessed is God, who creates the great and wondrous, the glorious and marvelous, without end. Blessed is God, who has shown me how he rewards those who fear him. Truly, O Lord, thou dost not forsake those who seek thee." And the woman, not allowing the elder to bow down before her, said, "I beg you, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, tell no one what you have heard until God delivers me of this earth. And now depart in peace, and again next year you shall see me, and I you, if God will preserve us in his great mercy. But for God's sake, do as I ask. Next year during Lent, do not cross the Jordan, as is your customary in the monastery." Zosima was amazed to hear that she knew the rules of the monastery and could only say, "Glory to God, who bestows great gifts on those who love him." She continued, "Remain, Abba, in the monastery. And even if you wish to depart, you will not be able to do so. And at sunset of the holy day of the Last Supper, put some of the life-giving body and blood of Christ into a holy vessel, worthy to behold such mysteries for me, and bring it. And wait for me on the banks of the Jordan, adjoining the inhabited parts of the land, so that I can come and partake of the life-giving gifts. For since the time I was communicated in the temple of the Forerunner, before crossing the Jordan, even to this day, I have not approached the holy mysteries, and I thirst for them with an irrepressible love and longing. And therefore I ask and implore you to grant me my wish. Bring me the life-giving mysteries at the very hour when our Lord made his disciples partake of his divine supper. Tell John, the abbot of the monastery where you live, look to yourself and to your brothers, for much is in need of correction there. Only do not say this now, but when God guides you, pray for me." With these words, she vanished into the depths of the desert. And Zosima, falling down on his knees and bowing down to the ground on which she had stood, sent up glory and thanks to God. And after wandering through the desert, he arrived to the monastery on the day when all the brothers returned. For the whole year he kept silent, not daring to tell anyone of what he had seen. To himself he prayed to God to show him again the face that he desired. He tormented himself and wore himself down in fretting, imagining how long a year is, and wanting, if possible, that the year be shortened into one single day. But when at length the Sunday of the great fast came, all went out into the desert with the customary prayers and singing of psalms. Only Zosima was held back by illness. He lay in a fever. And then he remembered what the saint had said to him. "And even if you wish to depart, you will not be able to do so." Many days passed, and finally, recovering from his illness, he remained in the monastery. And when again the monks returned and the day of the Last Supper had dawned, he did as he had been ordered. He placed some of the most pure body and blood into a small chalice, and putting some figs and dates and lentils soaked in water into a small basket, he departed for the desert and reached the banks of Jordan and sat down to wait for the saint. He waited for a long while and then began to doubt. So raising his eyes to heaven, he began to pray, "Grant me, O Lord, to behold that which thou hast allowed me to behold once. Do not let me depart in vain, being the burden of my sins." And then another thought struck him. "And what if she does not come? There is no boat. How will she cross the Jordan to come to me, who am so unworthy?" And as he was pondering thus, he saw the holy woman appear and stand on the other side of the river. So Sima got up, rejoicing and glorifying and thanking God. And again the thought came to him that she could not cross the Jordan. Then he saw that she made the sign of the cross over the waters of the Jordan, which he could see plainly in the bright moonlight. And then she at once stepped onto the waters and began walking across the surface toward him. When she saw that he was attempting to prostrate himself, she cried out while still walking on the water, "What are you doing, Abba? You are a priest carrying the divine gifts." He obeyed her, and on reaching the shore, she said to the elder, "Bless, Father, bless me." He answered her trembling, for a state of confusion had overcome him at the sight of the miracle. Truly God did not lie when he promised that when we purify ourselves, we shall be like him. Glory to thee, Christ our God, who has shown me through this thy slave how far away I stand from perfection. Here the woman asked him to say the creed and the Our Father. He began, she finished the prayer, and according to the custom of that time, gave him the kiss of peace upon the lips. Having partaken of the holy mysteries, she raised her hands to heaven and sighed with tears in her eyes, exclaiming, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, O Lord, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Then she said to the elder, "Forgive me, Abba, for asking you, but fulfill another wish of mine. Go now to the monastery and let God's grace guard you, and next year come again to the same place where I first met you. Come for God's sake, where you shall again see me, for such is the will of God." He said to her, "From this day on, I would like to follow you and always see your holy face. But now fulfill the one and only wish of an old man and take a little food, which I have brought for you." And he showed her the basket, while she just touched the lentils with the tips of her fingers, and taking three grains, said that the Holy Spirit guards the substance of the soul unpolluted. Then she said, "Pray for God's sake, pray for me, and remember a miserable wretch." Touching the saint's feet and asking for her prayers, for the church, for the kingdom and himself, he let her depart with tears, while he went off sighing and sorrowful, for he could not hope to vanquish the invincible. Meanwhile, she again made the sign of the cross over the Jordan and stepped on to the waters and crossed over as before. And the elder, filled with joy and terror, accusing himself of not having asked the saint her name, but he decided to do so next year. And when another year had passed, he again went into the desert. He reached the same spot, but could see no sign of anyone. So raising his eyes to heaven as before, he prayed, "Show me, O Lord, thy pure treasure, which thou hast concealed in the desert. Show me, I pray thee, the angel in the flesh, of which the world is not worthy." Then, on the opposite bank of the river, her face turned toward the rising sun. He saw the saint lying dead. Her hands were crossed, according to the custom, and her face was turned to the east. Running up, he shed tears over the saint's feet and kissed them, not daring to touch anything else. For a long time, he wept. Then, reciting the appointed psalms, he said the burial prayers and thought to himself, "Must I bury the body of a saint? Or will this be contrary to her wishes?" And then he saw words traced on the ground by her head, "Abba Sosima, bury on this spot the body of humble Mary. Return to dust that which is dust, and pray to the Lord for me, who departed in the month of Fermutan of Egypt, called April by the Romans, on the first day of the first night of our Lord's Passion, after having partaken of the divine mysteries. Reading this, the elder was glad to know the saint's name. He understood, too, that as soon as she had partaken of the divine mysteries on the shore of the Jordan, she was at once transported to the place where she died. The distance which Zosima had taken 20 days to cover, Mary had evidently traversed in an hour and had once surrendered her soul to God. Then Zosima thought, it is time to do as she wished. But how am I to dig a grave with nothing in my hands? And then he saw nearby a small piece of wood left by some traveler in the desert. Picking it up, he began to dig the ground, but the earth was hard and dry and did not yield to the efforts of the elder. He grew tired and covered with sweat. He sighed from the depths of his soul, and lifting up his eyes, he saw a big lion standing close to the saint's body and licking her feet. At the sight of the lion, he trembled with fear, especially when he called to mind Mary's words that she had never seen wild beasts in the desert. But guarding himself with the sign of the cross, the thought came to him that the power of the one lying there would protect him and keep him unharmed. Meanwhile, the lion drew nearer to him, expressing affection by every movement. Zosima said to the lion, "The Great One ordered that her body was to be buried, but I am old and have not the strength to dig the grave, for I have no spade, and it would take too long to go and get one. So can you carry out the work with your claws? Then we can commit to earth the mortal temple of the saint." While he was still talking, the lion, with his front paws, began to dig a hole deep enough to bury the body. Again, the elder washed the feet of the saint with his tears, and calling on her to pray for all, covered the body with earth in the presence of the lion. It was as it had been, naked and uncovered by anything but the tattered cloak, which had been given her by Zosima, and with which Mary, turning away, had managed to cover part of her body. Then both departed. The lion went off into the depth of the desert like a lamb, while Zosima returned to the monastery, glorifying and blessing Christ our Lord. And on reaching the monastery, he told all the brothers about everything, and all marveled on hearing of God's miracles. And with fear and love, they kept the memory of the saint. Abbot John, as Saint Mary had previously told Abbot Zosima, found a number of things wrong in the monastery and got rid of them with God's help. And Saint Zosima died in the same monastery, almost attaining the age of 100 and passing to eternal life. The monks kept this story without writing it down and passed it on word of mouth to one another. But I, adds Sophronius, as soon as I heard it, wrote it down. Perhaps someone else, better informed, has already written the life of the saint. But as far as I could, I have recorded everything, putting truth above all else. May God, who works amazing miracles and generously bestows gifts on those who turn to him with faith, reward those who seek light for themselves in this story, who hear, read, and are zealous to write it. And may he grant them the lot of Blessed Mary, together with all who at different times have pleased God by their pious thoughts and labors. And let us also give glory to God, the King Eternal, that he may grant us too his mercy in the day of judgment for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom belongs all glory, honor, and dominion, with adoration with the Eternal Father, and the most holy, life-giving Spirit, now and always, and through all the ages of ages. Amen. The end, and glory be to God.